And what is it that unites us together, the United States of America? Well, if we read from our Constitution, we find we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, etc., do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. These words, forged so long ago, are truly what actually bind us together as Americans. The words of the Constitution. What is it that's bound together in the Lord's Supper? Our text speaks of a union. What is it that brings these elements together? This is where we find the cross and the catechism are intimately tied together. The suffering of our Lord on the cross is essential to helping us understand and bring in the blessings that we receive in the sacrament of the altar. We find in verse 16 the word communion. We sometimes call this communion. And that word basically means a sharing. Sometimes it's translated fellowship. It means two elements that are coming together to be united. May the Spirit bless our study as we consider the union, the cross, and the sacrament of the altar. A union with the body and blood of our Lord, a union with the forgiveness of sins, and a union with each other. We call this Lord's Supper a sacrament. It's a word that's not actually found in the Bible, but it's a word we use to teach some very important truths. What does the word sacrament mean? Well, it helps us understand that this supper is something set apart. It's something holy. It's something where our Lord comes to us and combines earthly elements with heavenly blessings to bring to us the forgiveness of sins. It's just like baptism, where you've got an earthly element and a heavenly blessing bringing you the forgiveness of sins. So also the bread and the wine are united with our Lord's body and blood in this union. The words of institution prove this fact. They're recorded in all four Gospels, and they're the same words that your pastor uses every Sunday we celebrate this supper. He took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." He took the cup after supper, saying, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." In these words, we have to agree with Luther, who said, "Dismiss reason and understanding, which in vain are unable to understand it and refuse to believe it. We poke out the eyes of reason so that we can see what's actually going on here. In this bread and wine is found the body and blood of our Lord." It's the same body which was given on the cross for you, the same blood which was shed for you. Any attempt to twist these words will leave them short of the blessings that our Lord intended them to bring to us. And our text agrees. Verse 16, "The cup, is it not the communion, the sharing, the union of the blood of Christ? The bread, is it not the communion, the sharing, the union of the body of Christ?" And so in his small catechism, Martin Luther began this discussion by saying, what is the sacrament of the altar? It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus given to us Christians under the bread and wine to eat and to drink as it was instituted by Christ himself. We sometimes call this the real presence. And that's because we believe there is really present the body and blood of our Lord. There is really present that same body which has perfectly taken your place before God. The same blood which was innocently shed, which dripped down our Savior's face as he was crowned a sinner for you, is present, really. Yes, we call this the real presence. A sacramental, miraculous union of the body and blood of our Lord. The Founding Fathers based these United States in which we live on words. As we said, that's essentially what ties us together, our words. In a sense, we find the same thing or a parallel happening in the Lord's Supper. What is it that brings about this union of body and blood? What is it that brings us the forgiveness of sins? Is it you or me who have so rightly prepared ourselves as we come to church? Is it your pastor who is performing some miraculous incantation to make something transform before your eyes? No, hardly. What brings about these blessings is the word of our Lord. We do anything but contribute to this union. In fact, we're more likely to take away from it. We're more likely to come to the Lord's Supper thinking about what's going on tomorrow, distracted, tired, forgetting about why we're here in church. We're more likely to go to the Lord's Supper and then return right back to sinful behavior that is so common to our way of life, sinful habits. Let us thank God that it doesn't rely on us sinners to make the forgiveness of sins happen. It was all the work of our Lord, all His doing. All we're doing is receiving. In the small catechism, we confess, how can eating and drinking do such wonderful things? Eating and drinking actually do nothing. It is the words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins which do this. Our Lord's promise is so much surer than the Constitution. The Constitution leaves room in it for amendments. In fact, during the Civil War, there were some 11 states that disbanded from this union. No, nothing on the part of man, no amendments, no twisted attacks against Scripture, and not even your own sins can change the words of our Lord. As He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Your sins are forgiven. As we read also from the Catechism, what is the benefit of this eating and drinking? The words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins show us that God gives forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. The wine is indeed called the blood of the new covenant. And in that word, new covenant, we bring to mind a very important Old Testament passage from the prophet Jeremiah. We read this in church last Sunday. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel. They shall all know me, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. This is the union with the forgiveness of sins. It's the new covenant. Not like the old covenant, which brought demands, which asked you to do things for God, which laid on your shoulders a burden that none of us could carry. No, the new covenant brings to us a union with the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. In fact, we can think of the sacrament of the altar in this way. Think of that word altar in its Old Testament sense. Jesus was celebrating the Passover when He instituted this supper. In fact, it was the last Passover. And why? Because all of those altars in the Old Testament, the sacrifices, the Passover lamb, have come to fulfillment in our Lord Jesus. For He is the true Passover lamb laid on the sacrifice of the cross. The real altar where God brought to us the forgiveness of sins. As Paul says, indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. The sacrament of the altar is a union with the forgiveness of sins. As we said at the outset, this communion is most basically a sharing. It's a fellowship, not just with Christ, but it is also a fellowship with each other. As we read from verse 17, for we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. The sacrament of the altar is a union with each other. I didn't want that to distract you from our last part of our sermon here, so I'll let him rest. Getting back to part three of our sermon, the sacrament of the altar is a union with each other. We, though many, are one, our text says. We in the CLC, though many different churches, are all one. Though many different pastors are one. Though many different members with many different gifts, many different personalities, and yes, many different flaws, are all one body. It's the same union. It's that blessed union of teaching and confession that is rare to find in these days that the Lord has blessed us with by His grace. It's the same union that the early church enjoyed, as we read from Acts chapter 2. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now all who believed were together. They had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. This is what we're witnessing too in this annual pulpit exchange. We're having all things in common with each other. We're acknowledging a union with each other in confession, in teaching, in faith. I've only been a pastor for about 8 months now, and already I've seen this union at work, this blessing at work, as I've seen by email, pastors sharing prayers. And so in other churches, there have been people praying for Dave Ezerhunt when he was going through his difficult times, acknowledging we have all things in common. And I've seen other pastors at study clubs where we sit down and we study God's Word together and we have all things in common. We acknowledge this union. I went to the Joint Reformation Service last October where different congregations joined in acknowledging this union that we have together in the Word of God. Like-minded Christians sharing the Lord's Supper together. May God preserve this union among us, and may we ever continue to take advantage of the blessings that God has set forth with different churches, not just one church up in Wisconsin and another one down here in Illinois, but as one church. For that's what our text says, we, though many, are one body. Looking ahead to next week, Maundy Thursday, we're going to be enjoying the Lord's Supper. And I want you to have in mind some of these principles that we've talked about tonight, the union. And think of your brothers and sisters throughout the CLC who also are sharing in this union. In fact, think of your brothers and sisters throughout the world in the Holy Christian Church who are united with us. In fact, think all the way back to that first supper where our Lord gave the body and blood of His own that He was going to shed on the cross to those disciples. For you are united with them when you partake in this supper. Yes, the sacrament of the altar and the cross is a union. You are one with our Lord's body and blood. You are one with the forgiveness of sins. And you are one with each other. In Jesus' name, amen.